Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Let's turn to John chapter 3. That's going to be the first verse that we're going to put on the screen a little bit into this message. All right. This is actually not correct. I think I forgot to delete that. So John chapter 3. And of course, we're in the middle of our series on how to know 100% for sure that you have eternal life. You know what? We need to understand this. We need to be able to share this with people around us. And maybe some of you that are here, maybe some of you that are watching, you know, it's sort of like people either never struggle with this or people really struggle with this issue of being certain. And God wires people in different ways. I would say that probably people that are more artistic on that end of the spectrum, they struggle a lot more because they're more feelings-oriented. People that are anal retentive on the other end of the, you know, more, you know, mind-oriented, they don't struggle. In fact, you know, like, for instance, Brother Bill, who just went home to be with the Lord a few months ago, he said that he never doubted his salvation. And I've talked to other people. They say, from the day I got saved, I've never doubted my salvation. But for all of those people, you've got 100 that struggle and battle and fight. And so what we're going to try to do is try to help you along the way now. Now, today we're talking about how to obtain assurance, okay? How do you obtain assurance? If you've never been sure, or if you have been sure at one time in the past, but for a long time you've been fighting it. I remember when I was in college, listen, I got saved when I was 18 years old, almost 19. And the first year, year and a half, man, I was on cloud nine. I was so excited to be saved. I was so happy to know I was saved. But then one fateful day, one of my favorite professors in college, he got up to speak, and I couldn't wait to hear him speak. Well, that day he got up, and he said, students, he was from Tennessee, so he had a southern accent, students, today I'm going to talk to you. And he had a southern accent, and he said, I'm going to talk to you about how you can know that you have eternal life. What he proceeded to do is not teach the Bible. He proceeded to preach something that he had read, that a theologian had written, that is not what the Bible teaches. And of course, I told you what it was. It was, he gave tests. Now, the crazy thing is, generally, people say there's three tests: the Lord test, the life test, and the love test. The Lord test is Jesus, Lord of all of your life. Number two, the life test, do you live a godly, God-honoring life? And number three, the love test. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you love God with all your heart and your neighbor by yourself? Well, here I am, fairly new Christian, only been saved a year, year and a half, and I'm sitting there listening to a guy that I look up to amazingly. And as he's preaching, again, I'm more artistic, I'm a musician, I'm touchy-feely. And I'm sitting there, and as he's giving these three points, I'm like, do I love God with all my heart? No. Do I love my neighbor as myself? No. I'm flunking all the tests. Some books have 10 tests. Some have 11 tests. They really get detailed. They say, are you doing this and this and this and this and this and this and this? And you know what? If a person's honest, they're going to say, well, I'm sure trying to do those, but the way you're talking, I'm either pass or fail. And you know what? From that day, I began to spiral spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in a horrible way. I tried not to let other people sense this. But eventually, it got so bad, everyone, that literally I took my tape recorder and recorded a suicide note to my mom and dad because I just couldn't live any longer. And the crazy thing is, I'd go to Christian bookstores and I'd buy books. How to Know You're Saved. Pfft, Same problem. I'm going to put some quotes on the screen here shortly. Same problem, though. How to know you're saved? It made me worse. Because what it was doing, it was parroting the same old test yourself. See if you're in the faith. That's not what that verse means at all. It's not saying 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. He's not saying test yourselves to know whether you have eternal life. Paul's telling the Corinthian church, by the way, who he calls brethren, who he calls the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? Know ye not that the temple that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God? And you are not your own, you've been bought with. He talks to them through both letters as people who are on their way to heaven. So when he says to them, test yourself to see whether you're on your way to heaven, that's ridiculous. Because he already talks to them, brethren, 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 brethren. What does he mean by that? Well, simply he means, you know what? You need to put your life to the test as to whether you're walking the walk God wants you to walk as his child. Not saying, there's nothing in that passage. Test yourself to see whether you have eternal life. There's nothing said about eternal life. It's not even the subject. And so, by the way, if you're getting questions in your mind, we've got the mics down here. Before we take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to open it up for a few minutes where you could ask questions. And what I'll do is I won't have you come up and get a mic or anything. I'll reiterate it so the people that are listening from afar can hear it. So you tell me your question, I'll hear it, I'll be down here. And then, so keep that in mind. You might want to just jot it down on the side of your bulletin or something. So, all right. So let's, I didn't finish my story. So nonetheless, God was good to me. Kelly helped me immensely, especially when I was, you know, just at my wit's end. You know, I always remember that. I just can never forget that she basically saved my life. I would have taken my life. I was trying to break up with her. We were engaged. You know, I said, Kelly, she showed me my future wedding band that I was going to get one day. She said, we got your wedding band. And she showed it to me, and I was thinking, I'm going to destroy, Kelly, I'm going to destroy your life if you marry me. And I was trying to break it off, but she encouraged me, hey, Bob, I don't know what you're going through, but God is going to see you through. And he did. And I reclaimed my assurance. But I'm telling you, it was brutal. I mean, I've got a book on my shelf right now. It's that thick, and it's called The Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall. And I thought, man, if there's ever a book, bright red cover, hardback, beautiful, costs like $60. And I thought, man, if there's ever a book that's going to have the answer right there. Again, it had the Calvinistic view that you have to test yourself. You have to look at your life and see if you have fruit of the Spirit. Ta-ta-da. And we're going to talk about that today. So anyway, it's no fun, okay, to not have assurance. And that's why today we're going to talk about how to obtain assurance. Let me go ahead and pray now, and then we'll get right into some questions, okay? Father, use this in a mighty way, not only this day, not only with your people here and those who are tuning in, but Lord, in the future, people that this will be on the internet till you return. And Lord, we just put it in your good hands that you'll be honored and glorified today. Use this, Father, in a mighty way, in your precious name. Amen. There's a lot of questions people ask. Some of the most crucial ones are like these. Let me get past this real quickly. Okay, there's a couple of them. How can I be sure I am saved? That's crucial. How can I be completely certain that I am a child of God and I will be with him forever? How can I know 100% for sure that Jesus will not say to me, I never knew you, depart from me? How can we get answers to those questions? Well, let me just say this up front. It's not by how we feel. It's not by examining our lives to see if we are doing well enough. Listen, that is a lifelong quest for something that no one on earth ever has or ever will, unless they just got fake assurance. They trick themselves into thinking they were saved. No one has ever gotten 100% certainty by examining their walk with God. Because you know why? No matter how hard you examine it, and no matter how diligently you walk with God, guess what? No one's perfect. And so guess what? You will not have absolute assurance. And when I say absolute assurance, I mean that. 100% certainty. Absolute assurance means 100% certainty. That's what our church promotes and advocates and teaches from the Bible. And that's called free grace theology. But you have some of the greatest, the largest subsections of evangelicalism. Okay, we're not including Catholicism in this, okay, because then you've got hundreds of millions of more people across the world who don't even believe. I'm not saying none of them have assurance, because some of them most likely do have assurance, 100% for sure. But you know what? I'm saying that the vast majority of them agree with the Pope, agree with their catechism, their teachings, and they believe that you cannot be 100% sure. And I showed you a few weeks ago the quote where the Pope said it's dangerous to be 100% sure. Because you know what? If you're 100% sure, well, then you have fire insurance. You're going to go out and just live like the devil. No. When you know God has given you eternal life, it stokes gratitude in you. Thank you, Lord. And you want to follow Him. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you want to bring glory to God. From, you know, that's our innermost desire, though we can squelch that, and Christians are very good at doing that. But a huge subsection of evangelicalism, and by that I mean evangelicalism, people who claim to be born again. I'm a born again believer. They do not believe, the vast majority of people in evangelicalism do not believe that 100% certainty is possible. They just do not. I'm going to prove it to you today. I'm going to show you some quotes by Calvinists. I'm going to show you some quotes by Arminians. Okay? Calvinists say that they don't say that you can lose your salvation. They say what could happen is you can die and find out you just tricked yourself in thinking that you were really saved. You weren't really one of God's elect, they would say. Okay, you were never chosen by God, and at that, it's a whole system that is not biblical. It's very, very sad and very grievous. Then you have Arminians, and those are all the denominations which say you can lose your salvation. So neither of them can come out and say, I'm absolutely sure, I am 100% certain. Even the people at the highest levels, the theologians, they'll admit, you know, I'm 95% sure, 98% sure, 99% sure, and really, that's just words. They can't know that. How would they know that? How could you know that? There's no standard. There's no criteria to know that, because we're not given that. Okay? All right. So most people in evangelicalism, they believe that the best a person can hope for regarding assurance is some level of confidence. You know, 5%, 25%, 55%, 85%. You're going to have some. The holier you become, the more certain you'll be, or I should say, the more confident, not certain, the more confident you'll be. But guess what? 100% is unreachable. It cannot be reached. Because what they'll both say is, well, nobody will be 100% sure until you're standing before God and He judges your life. He's going to look at your life and determine you're in or you're out. That is just preposterous. That's just crazy to think that God's going to look at the lives of human beings and say, you know what? You lived well enough to get in. Folks, that's nothing but works salvation. Now, no. I don't believe in works salvation. They all just, they'll go to the stake to say they don't believe in works salvation. But listen, everyone, they believe in works salvation. They believe you got to persevere in good deeds. And their theologians, I've got it in my dissertation. Their theologians over and over say things like this, and I've got it in black and white. They're saying both Calvinists and Arminians believe that a person must, by the way, Dr. Robert Jeffress preaches this, a person must persevere in godliness. And by the way, I love Dr. Jeffress, but he believes in perseverance of the saints. And I don't mean the biblical way. I mean that he says, and I watched him on Revelation when he was preaching through Revelation 2 and 3. A friend, a lawyer friend, wrote me an email and said, Bob, did you know this? I said, no, he doesn't believe that. He said, yeah, he was preaching on this church. So I went online right away. I looked up that church he was preaching on because he told me that I forgot if it was Thyatira or which one it was. But I went on there, and man, I heard it and saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. Robert Jeffers says, true believers will persevere in faith and good works till the very end of their lives. They must do that, or they prove that they're not a child of God. Okay, and that's so, so unfortunate, because you and I and no one on earth will ever know that we're doing well enough, that we are doing that. And the bottom line is listen, I mean, I told you in the last few weeks that you have to be perfect. A person has to be perfect. If you're going to go that direction, you have to keep the whole law, because if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So the only way, that's why Jesus said to the rich young ruler, you know, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life and then inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what does the Bible say? And he says, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, Lord, I've done all those things since my youth. And Jesus says, do that, do them, and you will live. Do them, and you'll live. Question. Does anyone ever do them perfectly? No. So there's no salvation on the basis of human effort or works. None. There's no such thing. It's only by grace through faith in Jesus. Okay. So most evangelicals can only guess. They can only guess whether they'll be with God forever. Their theology, which is the way they understand Scripture, the way they look at the Bible, their theology prevents certainty that they will avoid the lake of fire. So, okay, two main points this morning, okay? Number one, we're going to talk about the wrong way to obtain assurance of salvation. We've already been talking about it. The Calvinistic Arminian way, okay? This is the way. And again, I'm keeping this within Protestantism. I'm keeping this within the sector of Christianity who claim to be born again. They make those claims, okay? I call this the wrong way to obtain assurance because both Calvinist and Arminian evangelicals believe salvation and assurance are ultimately obtained on the basis of good works. Ultimately, when all is said and done, apart from good works, you won't get in. Okay? First of all, very popular. This guy's on the radio every day. This is a brilliant guy. And he believed like we believe until a certain point in his life. And he was so fed up that the people in his church many, many years ago, this was in the late 70s, he was so fed up that he said, you know what? This isn't Christianity. These people are not changing. They're not growing. So he goes on a long sabbatical, and he studies the book of Matthew. Now, how I wish he would have just studied the Gospel of John, the book that tells unbelievers how they can be saved and know for sure they have eternal life. So he studies Matthew, the king of the Jews. He's the king. He's the king of God's people. And he studies it and he says, ah, and then he's reading all of the old Calvinistic books and things. And he comes back and he says, I know what the problem is. You make Jesus your Savior, but you don't make him Lord. And he's Lord of all. And so Lordship salvation begins to be taught anew and afresh from his pulpit, like it had been taught for hundreds of years since Martin Luther and John Calvin. And so John MacArthur is, you know, he's just had thousands of people flocking to him. But, you know, like along with John Piper and other leaders, it's amazing that these people that go to these churches, many of them are just in agony. In fact, John Piper said, he said, so much of my time is consumed with helping people try to find assurance of their salvation. Now, he doesn't help them. He says, well, he's honest with them, and he says, you can't be 100% sure, so the best you can know is just to look at your life, da-da-da-da. It's the same old, same old. But people are wanting 100% certainty. They're not content with being, well, I'm relatively sure I'm not going to be in the lake of fire for eternity. Okay? So let's look at John MacArthur. Let's look at a quote by him. Okay? I could give you dozens. I've got a whole book by him on assurance. By the way, I believe it has 11 tests that you have to pass to know that you have eternal life. Okay? The book is called, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Saved Without a Doubt or something like that. But you know what? You won't be saved without a doubt if you read his book. You'll be doubting worse. You'll be doubting in a more awful way by reading it. Okay, he's a Calvinist theologian, and this is what he believes. This is what, first one's short. He believes assurance is obtained through a lifelong growth process. Okay, did you see that? Lifelong. Do you want assurance? Well, you're going to have a lifelong growth process. Dr. MacArthur, I have a question. So when do I obtain assurance? Lifelong. You obtain it after you're dead. Yeah, but that might be too late. Well, then you need to persevere and be holy. Awful. Awful. Now, by the way, don't get me wrong. I'm with Calvinists and Arminians when they say we should be holy. I'm not preaching live like the devil. They say free grace theology promotes that. They say that. They say, oh, they just say you could go out and live. No, what we say is, yes, a Christian person can turn away from God, go out and live like the devil, but the outcome of that is not eternal damnation. It's hell on earth. It's not hell in the lake of fire. It's hell on earth, because you're disobeying the God who saved you, and you're going to be chastened and punished. Sin, when it is conceived, lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin is death dealing. It's like playing 21, blackjack. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Game over. That's how sin is. You can keep taking more and more of it, but eventually, whatever a person sows, that will they also reap. But thank God, no child of God Almighty, no child of God Almighty will reap eternal damnation. That is the one thing that Jesus promises can't happen. What else does MacArthur say? Well, he can't offer people 100% certainty of eternal life the moment they believe in Jesus. He can't offer that because he advocates a waiting period, lifelong growth process. That's how you can get more and more and more. The more you live for Jesus, the more sure you'll be, but you'll never be certain. In fact, R.C. Sproul, he was like one of the most brilliant theologians of Calvinism. He's passed away. But he just basically said, you know, if I end up in the lake of fire, I've got a quote of his. If I end up in the lake of fire, ta-da, 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 ta-da. He's uncertain. And he's like really, really smart, and he's written over 100 books and pamphlets. And this is another thing John MacArthur said, okay? He says, assurance must wait. It must wait for the Spirit's work. Okay, so a person, they quote-unquote lead them to Christ. No, they don't. Because everyone, a person isn't saved until they have assurance they're saved, okay? Now, you know, you say, well, Pastor Bob, then if I thought I got saved when I was 8, but I wasn't sure till I was like 21. Well, that's when you got saved. Just say, hey, I thought I was a believer, but then I finally nailed it down. I finally realized, hey, no, faith in Jesus, I have everlasting life, so on. So John MacArthur says you have to wait for evidence through the Holy Spirit. Now watch this quote. The evidence we seek through self-examination, there it is, examine yourselves, they misquote 2 Corinthians 13:5. The evidence we seek through self-examination is nothing other than the fruit of the Spirit, the proof that he resides within. It is on this testimony that our assurance is confirmed. Hogwash. 1 John chapter 5, this is the testimony, God's testimony, that he's given of his Son. Okay? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's nothing to do with fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, do I have enough love? Do I have enough kindness? Do I have enough self-control? You and I would never, ever be able to understand or determine that. You will always be wondering, do I have enough? That's why they can't offer 100% assurance. Okay? It's a big fat lie out of the pit of hell. I'm sorry, that's rough, okay? But Jesus did not say that we are saved / obtain 100% certainty, okay? Those two things are the same thing. Getting saved is obtaining 100% certainty, okay? So like for instance, if a person is, like for instance, oh my goodness, you've probably seen this on TV, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, a wonderful person, loves people. But he has like a 30-second commercial where he basically tries to cram the gospel that he understands into that 30 seconds. And I've never done it. What I need to do is stop, push the pause button on my TV and write down everything he says. But by the time he's done talking, he's got like about 10 things that he says a person's got to do, you know, and there's no way anybody could be 100% sure listening to what he says. It's just, by the way, everybody, it's an aberrant gospel message. You know, he's like, ask Jesus into your heart. Repent of your sin. Okay, right there. Repent of your sin. All of it? 50%? How much? And then, like, for instance, let's say a person believes they have to repent of all their sins. So they're thinking, okay, I got to turn from all my sins. Okay. Have you met a person that could turn from all their sins yet? Have you? But they're sitting there while somebody's giving them the gospel. Okay, I've got to repent of my sin. Okay. Okay, I think I got them all. I think that I'm turning from all of them. But then 5 minutes after they say a sinner's prayer, they go, oh, I forgot one. Well, then that must mean that you weren't saved because you're supposed to repent and you didn't repent. So you know what I'm saying. It's a mess. It's just a mess. But you know what, everyone? Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, things that you'll hear on television and radio and stuff, they're just so unlike the Gospel of John. And I'm going to show that to you in just a second. Jesus did not say we're saved by good works. He said we are saved by faith. Now watch this verse from John. I had you turn to John 3, and here's verse 36. He, the one, the person, who believes in the Son, has everlasting life. Okay, I see two things there. Believes, has. What are you believing in Jesus for? Everlasting life. The one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life. Okay, so you're not believing in him for a better life. A person who gets saved isn't believing in Jesus for a better life. They're not believing in him for a better marriage. They're not believing. He doesn't say, whoever believes in me has a wonderful life. He doesn't say, whoever believes in me has a better marriage. You know, that's not what he's saying. He says, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. So what the reason Jesus puts it that way is the human being is supposed to say, okay, let's see. I'm talking with Jesus. He's preaching about everlasting life, living forever. And he says, if I believe him, if I take him at his word about this, that the one who believes has everlasting life, if I believe in him for everlasting life, I have it. Okay. Every single one of us, we can ask right now ourselves, do I believe in Jesus for everlasting life? And if a person says, no, I've got to persevere till the end of my life. That's what they've been telling me, okay? No, a person who believes in Jesus not only has everlasting life, they know they do. Because Jesus says, whoops, don't do it. Okay, I messed up. Okay, this is what I wanted. Jesus says has, okay? And when we take him at his word, then I should be able to say, I have everlasting life, okay? That's simple. Jesus doesn't complicate it. Theologians complicate it. Pastors complicate it. Well, if you don't do this and this, think about what John MacArthur said. You can't have assurance. Well, Jesus, did you say I can't have assurance? You said right there, I've got it. And if I have life that lasts forever, how long will I have that for? Can somebody tell me? Yeah, forever. It's everlasting life, okay? But that's not what people preach. People don't preach the Gospel of John because they say, well, that's not enough. Gospel of John, you got to read the whole Bible. You got to know all those things the Bible says. Oh, really? Because the end of John says, these things, John's talking about the Gospel of John, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting. These things, these signs I've written about, the miracles, Jesus, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's the reason John wrote. Now, everybody, if let's say after the cross and resurrection, if the gospel changed, you know, John, they think that John wrote the Gospel of John from 36 to 41 AD. Well, if the gospel changed, a lot of people say, well, the gospel changed after the cross and resurrection. Oh, really? Well, then why didn't John say, well, okay, now when Jesus and us apostles were walking the earth, this is what Jesus said right here. But now it's not just believing, you've got to persevere in faith and good works till the end of life. Then you'll know you have everlasting life. But John doesn't do that. John doesn't say, oh yeah, by the way, you know, now when Jesus was on earth, he was teaching this, but it's changed. It's changed. That just is not true. It's not what the gospel that Jesus gave to his apostles is the gospel that we teach and preach, okay? So again, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son, notice, you don't go to hell because you don't persevere. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, eternal life. Okay? It's because a person doesn't believe Jesus. Question. Jesus doesn't say a person must persevere till the end of their lives. So if a person believes that, is that saving truth? No, because Jesus didn't say that. That's a lie. It's not the truth. This is the truth. But he who does not believe the Son, this, if you don't believe this, you won't see eternal life. But right now, while you're alive, the anger, the wrath of God dwells on you. Because you know what? Jesus is saying, this is how you're saved. No, 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 Lord. No, no, no. No, that's not what's true, Lord. You have to persevere till the end of your life. 1 John 5, I'm going to show it to you. You call God a liar when you do that. When Jesus says, whoever believes in me has everlasting life, they have it. No, 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 Lord. No, because if you don't grow, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you'll end up in the lake of fire. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That's disbelieving Jesus. That's a statement of unbelief. That's not a statement of belief. That's a construct of man. That's not anything God ever put out toward people. Let me show you that. We're talking about Calvinists. Let's look at the other side of the coin, Arminians. Scott McKnight. Okay? He's an Arminian theologian. He believes that assurance is gained by day in and day out continuance in faith and good works. Perseverance in faith and good works. Okay? Assurance. Oh, wait a minute. What is this? Did I not put the right? Oh, that's the second. Oh, there must have been a slide that didn't make it in. Okay. Let me read. That's really strange. Okay, assurance accompanies faithfulness. Was that up there? Well, let's read this one. We'll use this one, okay? Because I've got some different ones here. Okay, so let me read that. The evidence we seek through... Oh, no, that's John MacArthur's quote. You know what? I must have just... There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. I messed up. I should have erased those slides. Okay. Assurance, and this is a man who believes you could lose your salvation. He's a professor in the Chicago. Assurance accompanies faithfulness. Notice that? Not faith. He's not saying what Jesus said, assurance accompanies faith. He's saying assurance accompanies faithfulness. That's day in and day out for both the Calvinist and the Arminian. He's admitting it. God's own faithfulness summons us to trust and long obedience. Huh? Did Jesus say long obedience? No, he said whoever believes. He didn't say whoever believes and is faithful to the end has everlasting. Jesus did not say that. But he does. This professor says God summons us to trust and long obedience for eternal life. Now, question, does God call us his children to a lifelong obedience? Sure. But not for eternal life, for eternal rewards. Okay, that is, God expects us to respond in constant faithfulness. Oh, so if you're going to have assurance and get into the kingdom, you have to have constant faithfulness. Well, that we just, all of us just blew it. Just as he is faithful. You know, you got to be as faithful as God, just as he. You've got to be as faithful as God Almighty to have assurance. And like I said, he believes, because of his theology, he believes that a person can have eternal life and have not absolute assurance. Now, they'll say you can have assurance for right now, but it's not what we believe. It's not. They mean a kind of assurance, a confidence. It's not absolute. They say, well, you can have everlasting life and assurance of it right now, but you can't have it permanent. It's not like 100%. But when they say assurance, when Calvinists and when Arminians say assurance, they don't mean absolute. They mean confidence. Oh, I'm pretty sure. I hope so. Okay? Notice another, I'm going to finish his quote here. He believes people can lose their salvation. God offers us his love, and we can respond back in love. True. But we can also reject God's love if we choose and experience the consequences of not persevering in his love. True. But what does he say the consequences are? We say, as free grace people, chastening. Scott McKnight says, the lake of fire. Okay, let's read it. Put in different theological terms, I do not believe in eternal security. He doesn't believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. I do not believe in eternal security, though I do believe that Christians can have kind of assurance of their salvation. Why does he say a kind? Why does he say a kind of assurance? Because he believes his theology forces him to believe this. If I'm not faithful to God, constant faithfulness, if I turn away from him at some point in the future, I'll lose my salvation. Okay, so he can't say you have 100% certainty. So he could say a kind of assurance. That's right, not absolute assurance. A kind of confidence. I hope so. Okay, I'm 25% sure. I'm 85% sure. Okay. Arminianism does not offer biblical assurance. 100%. Okay. Now, Jesus says the believer will never perish. You remember I've talked to you about the word never, never, never. You will never perish, right? Jesus says never, and he says it over and over again. Never. But again, you've got God's word. The person who believes in me will never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than me, and no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. Okay? You'll never. But they read that verse, and with audacity, the Arminians say, no, 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 Lord. That's not true. They'd never perish. Because if they turn away from you, they'll perish in hell forever. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the writings of men, or are you going to believe the promise of Jesus? I'm going to go with Jesus every time, because right there in bold print, black and white, the one who believes in me will never perish. Never. No, no, no. So, Arminianism, just like Calvinism, we've got another theology that is straight from the pit of hell. You say, Pastor Bob, those are such strong words. I've got relatives. They're some of the sweetest people. But you know what? They don't have a biblical theology. I'm sorry. Okay? And I'm not saying that some point in time in their lives that they haven't maybe reading the Bible, maybe they're reading John chapter 3, John chapter 5, John chapter 6. Somewhere in John, they're reading it, and they stop and they pause and they start thinking and they go, that's the most wonderful thing. Whoever believes in Jesus will never perish. Thank you, Lord. Guess what? They just believed. But then they go back to church 3 days later, and they're hearing, if you don't give 10% of your income, you listen to me. If you don't give 10% of your income, you're not going to heaven. No. And you know what? They sit there, and they put people's arm behind their back spiritually, and they just crank on them. You don't tithe. You don't do this. You don't pray every day. You don't come to church every time the doors are open. And you know, and so on. And they just dump the whole dump truck on people. And they just, you know, it's crazy that they're not all neurotic. But nonetheless, yes, those are strong words. But the Apostle John use strong words. And this is what I was referencing earlier. Look at this. He who believes, he or she, who believes in the Son of God has the witness, the testimony of God in themselves. Okay? They have the witness. Now, this isn't the burning in the bosom. This isn't a feeling. I know I'm saved. How? I feel so wonderful. No, 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 no. Nobody can get assurance by feelings. Listen, there's a lot of people on earth who feel 100% sure, they feel that they're on their way to a mansion in heaven, but they're not. Their feelings have deceived them. Feelings are very deceptive. You can't trust them. God's word you can trust. But look at John. He who believes in me, or who believes in the Son of God, John's talking about Jesus, has the witness in himself. What does that mean then, Pastor Bob? They have the witness, the testimony of God, the words of God from his word, okay, his testimony, God's testimony, God's witness, God's word. You have that. A person who believes has that in himself. Yes, I believe that, Lord. That's in you. Lord, I believe John 3:36. I believe John 5:24. I believe John 3:16. That's in you. I believe that, Lord. But watch this. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Well, Lord, I know you say never perish, but no, Lord. You need to come to my church. You don't understand, Lord. I know you're God Almighty, and you created the heavens and the earth and the universe, and I know you worked miracles, but Lord, you got to listen to me. You got it wrong, Jesus. It's preposterous, people. Okay? He who does not believe God, these are strong words, has made him a liar. Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Now, he's writing to save people. So the reason that's all he says is because they know what he's talking about. He doesn't have to say that he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son so that he could die on the cross and rise from the dead so people can have eternal life as a free gift. They already know that. He doesn't have to make every verse 9 miles long. So you understand that there's truths that are implicit. This doesn't mean, well, Pastor Bob, it says right there, if I just believe God's testimony that he gave Jesus to the world, I'm saved. No. That's, you don't forget that, especially in books other than the Gospel of John, he's already calling God's, he's already saying, you're his children. You're his children. You're brethren, brothers and sisters, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. They're already saved. They know they're saved, okay? So what he's doing is he's saying, you know, he hasn't believed the gospel, okay? This is just like a precise, concise way of saying things, okay? Obviously, a person who just believes that God gave his Son to the earth, that's not saving truth. That's not a saving truth, okay? That if that's all a person ever believed, they're not saved, okay? By the way, for 18 years as a well-taught Catholic, I mean well-taught in Catholicism, I believe that God gave his Son. Who do you think he gave? Allah? Muhammad? You know, I mean, I totally agree with that, but I wasn't saved. Okay? To say that a believer in Christ could end up in hell is to call God himself a liar. Okay? Jesus says believers have eternal life. He says believers will never perish in hell. He says they shall not come into condemnation. Huh, I won't come into judgment? Okay, then why do the Calvinists and Arminians say you have to wait until you stand before God to find out whether you're going to heaven and hell? Jesus already promised you won't even come into judgment for your eternal destiny. Huh. Folks, go with Jesus. Okay? Don't listen to people who say that, well, you're not saved by good works. You're saved by a faith. You're not saved by your good works. You're saved by a faith that works. Wrong. Okay, that's their famous quote. Okay? We're not saved by good works, but we're saved by a faith that works. Faith without works is dead. Okay? And they totally slaughter what James is talking about there. He's not talking about heaven and hell in James chapter 2. He's not talking about eternal life in James chapter 2. The whole letter is written to people who have already believed. Okay? They're already brethren. It says it over and over. Hey, sometime when you start reading a new epistle, take out a highlighter, and every time you see how God refers to his people, mark it down, and it'll just blow your mind, okay? Let me ask you this morning, are you going to believe Jesus or those who say you can't be sure about salvation? Jesus says this, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, the old King James said. Or verily, verily, I should say is what it said. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you. He, the one who believes in me, has everlasting life. That's 100% certainty. There's no way you could read that verse and think it's talking about partial assurance. That is not partial. He says, the one who believes in me, not will get. Do you see will get? Let's say will get. The one who believes in me will get everlasting life after they persevered till the very end of their life. Is that what that verse is? No. Because Jesus doesn't mince words. He doesn't preach false teaching. He doesn't preach false doctrine. Okay? Jesus says, believe what I'm promising you, and you immediately have life that will last you forever. You have it right now, has, and you will have it forever, will never perish. Let me repeat that. Jesus says, believe what I am promising you, and you immediately have that life that will last you forever. You have it right now, and you'll have it forever. That is what Jesus is saying in the words, has everlasting life. Okay, it can't be anything less than that. It's 100% certainty. If you have everlasting life, okay, that's 100% certainty. Okay, so that's the wrong way. Let me give you a few quotes about the right way. I'm going to give you some quotes by free grace people, okay? Next, the right way to obtain assurance, the free grace way, or we would say the biblical way. You know, we stand on that. We say, hey, we believe that we are sharing what the Bible teaches on this. And, you know, if we don't get the ABCs of Christianity down, how in the world are we going to get the rest of the alphabet? This is the ABCs. How to know you have everlasting life. This is like kindergarten things. But people, what happens is they grow up in churches as little kids that preach the wrong way, just like I did. And they're just convinced. Now, thank God Jesus unconvinced me at the welding factory. Glory to God. I remember reading those verses for the first time from the Gospel of John, and I'm like, that's not what they taught me. And I'm thinking, and I remember, Jamie, I remember saying this in my mind, this is the big kahuna. I remember reading it, and I'm like, this is the big man upstairs. Because I didn't know how to think of God correctly yet, so I was thinking big kahuna. This is God saying this. And that's not what they taught me. Over and over, it was happening to me. I would read this verse in John, then I'd read another verse, and I'm like, that's not what they taught. And then, you know, before I closed that book, I was saved. And I came back the next night, and I told the guy standing there. I came back, hey, I got saved last night, y'all. I knew I had eternal life. I was sure. It was a glory to God. I was so happy. Okay, let's look at what Zane Hodges, my dear friend and longtime mentor, I met him in 1986 and was mentored by him and was like a helper to him with so many different things for 22 years. What a blessing. Wow. Zane C. Hodges. He says, this is his quote, a careful consideration of the offer of salvation as Jesus himself presented it will show you that assurance is part of that offer. One forceful example of this is John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Anyone who takes this statement at face value should be able to say, I know I have everlasting life. I know I will not come into judgment. In John 11, 26 and 27, Jesus said to Martha, whoever, oh, I love that. Jesus died for all humanity. He's not a Calvinist. Calvinism says that Jesus only died for the elect, the people that God chose supposedly to have eternal life. No, no. Jesus didn't die for a certain number of people. He died for the whole world, 1 John 2:2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Okay? Whoever, that's why you could say to Martha, whoever, anyone who is alive, who lives, and believes in me. Notice, you have to be alive. You can't wait until the end of life to find out. No, he says, no, you need to be alive and you need to believe in me. Whoever is alive and believes in me shall, well, they might die if they don't, never die spiritually. Second death. Lake of fire. This is the second death. They're already dead spiritually on earth because they don't have Jesus' life. But then they die eternally in the lake of fire. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never go to the lake of fire, never die eternally. Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe what I just said, Martha? Do you believe this? She doesn't say, no, Lord, I need to wait and see if I'll bear fruit in order to be sure. She doesn't say, Lord, do I believe this? I'm not sure. I need to persevere in faith and good works for a while to be able to answer that question. That's not what Martha says. What does she say? She says this. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay? She believes that he is the Messiah. What does that mean? Obviously, 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God. So what does that infer? Well, obviously it infers that whoever to believe in Jesus as the Messiah doesn't simply mean, yeah, that's his title. You're Pastor Bob. He's Messiah Jesus. He's the No, it doesn't mean that he just wears that title. It means that's the one the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, said would come, and he would bear our grief and take our sorrows upon us. He would be whipped for us, and he would atone for our sins. They understood. When you say Messiah, you're saying the one who promises everlasting life, who died for our sins, so on and so forth. Okay? So, Jesus asked her if she believed the promise he just made. She said yes. She believed she would never die spiritually. She would never experience the second death. She believed his promise. She believed that she would live with Christ forever. Okay, let me wrap it up with this, and then I'll take some questions from you, and then we'll share the Lord's Supper. Okay, this is Tony Evans. He's just down the road from us down in South Dallas. The great, great theologian, pastor, author, longtime pastor, probably 50 years. Going on 50 years, I believe. Yeah, I think that's right. 30, 20, yeah, going on. Yeah, long, long time. Tony Evans said in his commentary, or in one of his books, Totally Saved, assurance is found in Christ and the offer of the gospel that God makes through him. This also suggests that assurance is as immediate and as complete as salvation itself. God does not parcel out assurance to us on the installment plan. I love that. It's not on the installment plan. Here, pay a little money now. Pay a little money later. Pay a little money after that. And then you finally get eternal life. No, that's what Calvinists and Arminians say. Okay? You have to persevere. Look, I know they say, no, you could have assurance right now, but they don't mean absolute assurance. They mean partial assurance. They mean hope so. They mean, you know, confidence. I've got confidence I'm going to heaven. But folks, Jesus doesn't preach confidence. He preaches absolute assurance. You will never perish. No one will pluck you out of my hand. That's his promise. This is the promise he's promised us, 1 John 2:25, eternal life. Okay? So, as we conclude this message, the question I want to ask is this: are you sure you will live forever with God? Okay? I'm going to walk down and I'm going to grab a mic here. If you have a question, raise your hand. We won't take them for long. So if you got a question, please ask it. I'm going to walk down here, turn on the mic, and then I will reiterate your question so the people that aren't in the room that are listening, they can hear what question you asked, and then I will attempt to answer it. Okay? But I want you to be thinking, are you sure you're going to live forever with God? Because that's a huge, huge question. And if you're not, what you need to do is you need to take the many promises in Scripture, especially in the Gospel of John, and just read those. Ask God to open your eyes that you can understand it, and God would love to give you 100% certainty. But let me say this. This is so important. This is a crucial part of my dissertation. God's people can lose their assurance. They can't lose eternal life. They can lose assurance. However, if a person has never been sure that they were saved, if they've never been 100% certain, they've never been saved. Now, a person can have assurance for 15 seconds, and they'll live with God forever. They can walk out the door, turn on the car radio, and hear somebody say something terrible, and they're like, oh, that preacher just told me I had eternal life, but this one says I have to live a good life, and they could lose their assurance. But they don't lose eternal life, because eternal life is what, everybody? Eternal. It's forever. Okay, so let me come down here. Testing, testing. Do you hear me? Okay, good. All right, does anyone, before we have the elders come, and elders, why don't you go ahead and come on down while we're doing this so we'll be ready to have the Lord's Supper. Does anybody have a question, something that is in your mind or something that you always wondered about? Okay, I know sometimes there's so many questions that might come up in your mind when somebody's talking, and, you know, sometimes we don't really do that great of a job getting something across. Okay, who has a question? Raise your hand if you have a question. Okay. All right. Don't all ask me at once, okay? I can't take all these questions at once, okay? Anybody? Anybody have a question? All right. Now you're going to make me arrogant because, like, you have. You said, no, Pastor Bob, you answered all our questions. Let's go home. So, okay. Well, no problem. Okay, great. Thank you, Patricia. All right. Makes me feel good. Wait a minute. I shouldn't think my feel. Okay, no. Okay. Great question. Patricia asks, what's the difference between saved and sanctified? Okay, it's really simple. Initial salvation, when we first believe, the very first time we believe in Jesus for eternal life, that is justification in the Bible. That is when you obtain eternal life and the assurance of it. Now, sanctify is from the word holy, okay? Like, if you think of the word saint, sanctify, sanctuary, okay? That means that's our walk as disciples, as children of God, as followers of Jesus, okay? First, we get saved, all right? First, we obtain eternal life as an absolutely free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's an absolutely free gift. It's not an award. It's not a reward. You don't earn it. It's a gift. However, once a person has been justified, they're just in the sight of God. They're righteous in God's sight. If he pulled your file folder in heaven with your name on it, anyone who's believed in the Son, he'd open it up and it's blank. There's no sins because God has saved you forever. But now, sanctify means I need to become holy
to be pleasing to my Heavenly Father. Okay? We have a child, we have a baby, and now they're part of the family. But guess what? We don't spend 18 years and say, well, I'm just going to let them go on their own. No, parents have a goal. I want my child to be kind and wise, holy, so on and so forth. Same thing with God. We're born again, boom. Birth happens in a moment. But growing and striving and being what God wants us to be, that's sanctification. And then what's great, Patricia, justification happens in a moment. Sanctification is us, what we do all our lives to please God and bring him honor for saving us. Glorification happens in a moment. These two, think of an Oreo cookie. These two happen instantly. This one is lifelong. So you're made righteous and given eternal life in one moment. And when you see Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We get our glorified bodies. We get perfection. We'll never sin again. But that happens, boom, instantaneously. We see Jesus, we have a new body, and we will never, ever think, do, or say anything evil for eternity. That happens in a second. And the same thing with justification happens in a second. But sanctification is a lifelong quest to bring honor and glory to God. Not to get saved, but to glorify him. Does that help? Okay. And Jeff, did you have a question?
I was just going to say what you said.
Oh, okay.
Salvation happens in a moment.
Yes.
Sanctification is a lifelong process.
Right, lifelong process. Now, I will say this, Patricia, there are some places in the Bible where sanctification is talking about a kind of holiness, when God gives us the holiness of his Son at the moment we're justified. In heaven, on the books, you know, his righteousness is imputed to us in a legal sense, like in a courtroom. Okay? Yeah, and sometimes the word sanctification in the New Testament, you'll have to read the whole chapter and just study it to see if the writer's talking about being sanctified for lifelong sanctification and our day-to-day holiness, or if he's talking about, no, when you got saved, you were made holy. And it's pretty clear. So you were made holy. You were sanctified in the Son. That means that you have eternal holiness on the books of God. In other words, you know, God being the just judge and so on and so forth. He's righteous, he's fair, and he says, yeah, when you believed in my Son, I put holiness on your quote-unquote record in heaven. I wrote your name in the book of life. You have, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Sure. No. Okay, so she just asked, there's sometimes she hears saved and sanctified. But again, we're always talking about two things other than if the context is talking about that total sanctification we get in Christ. Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews 10:10, Hebrews 10:14. It uses the Greek word hapax, means once for all. There's a once for all kind of holiness, but you have to study it in the passage you're reading to see, is the writer talking about this once for all? Like, in Hebrews, it uses that hapax word, or once, it uses the English phrase once for all, because it means forever, okay, forever. So that's just simple, but in a way, okay, so you're asking, they're in the same, no, they're connected in the sense that it's like the engine on the train, and then you have cars behind it, and then you have a caboose. Well, the engine is faith in Christ, and that's eternal life. But the things that follow are like sanctification. They're connected in the sense that sanctification is something God longs for us after we're his children, just like with our children, we long for them to be whole and to be good. But we have eternal life. The engine is an engine, whether those cars are connected to it or not. Okay? They should. Sanctification should. In fact, it says in Ephesians 2:10. 2:8 and 9, by grace you're saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it says, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has foreordained that you should walk in them. Should. Doesn't say must, because if you put must in there, then it becomes a, you know, like, okay, I'm gonna have to do this in order to get into heaven. But he's not talking about heaven and hell there in that verse, 2:10. He moves from justification in 2:8 and 9 to the sanctification in 2:10. And he's actually talking to the whole church there. Okay? He's talking to the church as a body. So, all right, well, hey, you know what? If you have any question more, ask me after the service, because we have to get to Lord.